You're listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org. Would like you to visit there. Please subscribe to my website. All of these broadcasts, if they're not there now, eventually will be there. I work very hard and have a lot of work to do, so if it takes a while from the time that I produce a program like this to the time I get it in the archives, please bear with me. However, you can go to the archives tab or button at firstamendmentradio.com, and this program that you are hearing right now will be on the archives page there. They're dated Monday through Friday there under Cross the Border. So just select the proper day, and eventually, within 24 hours, I believe within 12 hours, I don't know how fast it gets up there. I think it's within a couple hours now that the program gets up there, the automation gets it up there. So this program will be available to listen to on demand within several hours of being produced or rebroadcast on the air. So if you want to hear it again, or if you can't be there, you can listen to it at any time. Say if you're working where you can't listen, you can listen on demand anytime by going to the archives page at firstamendmentradio.com, or the shortcut would be libertyarchives.com, and you'll find much other great programming there. If you want to support Cross the Border, this program, just look for how to support firstamendmentradio.com, because firstamendmentradio.com, libertyarchives.com is the labor that I labor with to support myself and my family and this broadcast. So if the spirit moves you, and you decide that obedience requires you to support this work, then you support firstamendmentradio.com. And perhaps we can get this message out to even more people that way. Also, subscribe at my website. In the upper right-hand corner at crosstheborder.org, you'll find a subscribe button there, and take advantage of the articles and the archives of the past broadcasts and programs. You'll find the entire books of the Bible there that I have archived on the Bible studies page, and you'll find the other interesting studies there, and I hope you will avail yourself of that. Spread it around. If you find something interesting, email the links to other people, or you'll see at the bottom of every posting and every page, you'll see a Facebook button there or some type of share button where you can post those things for all of your friends and whoever's in your social network to share those things. All that helps out. If you don't have money to give, you can help by spreading the word and just sharing it, sharing these things. Okay, we're in Galatians here with our good friend Paul, the apostle to the nations, to the Gentiles, and he's going to explain that a little bit here. We ended up about chapter 1 and verse 15, so I'm going to just pick up there, jumping back a verse. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. You know, I read that, and that applies to me. The Almighty, he's the one. He separated me from my mother's womb. Well, I guess that means that I was born alive, and called me by his grace, indeed he has, to reveal his son in me. That's the most important part. Is the Messiah, the Son of God, is he being revealed in you? Yes, his righteousness. Is it being imputed to you? To have the Son of God revealed in you is that means that you're walking in obedience to the Heavenly Father. Because that was the demonstration of his life. Total obedience. Never at any point was he disobedient. It didn't mean he liked what he was going through. Obviously, he would have been insane. But he didn't want to go to the cross. He didn't desire going to the cross. As a matter of fact, you read about how he was in the Garden of Gethsemane there. And he prayed, if it is possible to have this cup removed from me. And that was the cup of the cross. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, only someone who's insane wants to suffer pain. None of us want to suffer pain and anguish. But he went through it, and the anguish was so great upon him when he was praying that prayer that he even sweat drops of blood. That's how great the anguish was. Now, I've had anguish in my life. I've had anxiety. Those feelings overwhelm me before, as we all have. It's just part of life, but nothing that great. Nothing so great that I would sweat blood. But somehow, going through the anguish of my life, I begin to understand the anguish that he went through, and he chose to continue anyway when he said, not my will, but thy will be done. So perfect obedience. If the Son of God is revealed in you, then what is being revealed is a man or a woman that is totally submitted in obedience to the Heavenly Father, that is matured in obedience, not someone who's continually walking in error or falling back into sin, but mature, walking a mature walk in Messiah, hating sin and dreading even the idea of falling into it. That's what it means to have his Son revealed in me. And that's what Paul says here, to reveal his Son in me. And he continues, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred with not flesh and blood. That's where we left off. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. He was called as an apostle to the nations, to the heathen, those that were outside of the nation of Israel. He says, then after 3 years, so he stayed 3 years before he went to Jerusalem. And what did he do for that 3 years? Well, he got schooled. You can read about that a little bit as you read through the epistles and what Paul went through and when he went to have his eyes open, and he was learned in these things. He knew the Old Testament, and it looks like he was just discipled, and he studied for 3 years. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles, I saw none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards I came to the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Galatians chapter 2. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas. And we're talking some time here. 14 years he went back to Jerusalem and took Titus. He says, and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference, added nothing to me. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter. Okay, so we see here there's a difference. Peter, the gospel of the circumcision and the gospel of the uncircumcision are really not two different gospels. What he's saying is that he is an apostle to those that are of the uncircumcision, because the covenant of which circumcision was the sign was given to Abraham, who was the father of Israel. Now, in my study of the calendar, the little better understanding of who Israel is, it wasn't just Israel, because Jacob's name was changed to Israel, but Abraham was also Israel, because the scripture says that the sojourn of Israel began when Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees, the Abrahamic covenant. And the circumcision was given to Abraham. So we have those who are national Israel in contradistinction to the other nations, which Paul was raised up as an apostle to. Okay. So you have the gospel to the circumcision and the gospel to the uncircumcision. That's the difference here, is one is to those that are of Israel, of the covenant of Abraham, which covenant was signified by the circumcision in the flesh. Okay? And here's another thing that we need to pay attention to here. He says, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, that's where we get the idea that Paul is the apostle to the nations, or the Gentiles, or the uncircumcision. All of these things mean the same thing. The nations other than Israel, because that's what the word Gentiles means. It means nations, plainly. In context, it means most of the time in context. Gentiles means nations other than Israel. And that's what the terminology of circumcision also means here. It applies to Israel and not the other nations. He says that was committed. The gospel of the uncircumcision, or the gospel to the Gentiles, was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter. So here we find that Peter and the 12, all of the 12, were apostles to the circumcision. They were apostles to the nation Israel. Peter was not an apostle to the Gentiles. Peter was not the first pope to Rome. Peter, it is unlikely, it's not recorded anywhere, there's no evidence that Peter ever went to Rome, or that he was ever a pope. and call no man father, I don't think Peter would go for it. There was a guy called Simon, Simon Pater. Pater means father. They called him Father Simon. That was very Roman. In Rome, they called the Caesars were father. You know, you had the rule of parens patriae. The government is your daddy, is your parent, and you are all the children of your government. We see that application even here now in the modern Roman-style governments that we have all over the world. The state thinks that it owns your children. That's the whole idea of the father, the state being your father. So you had Simon Pater, and I believe that Simon Pater was the sorcerer and was the first pope. It's just very convenient that Simon Peter and Simon the sorcerer had the same name, that being Simon, one being Simon Peter and the other one being called Simon Pater or Father Simon. So you see the big mix-up, and I believe that the Roman Catholic Church uses that mix-up to establish its position of Peter being the first pope. But here it says that Peter was an apostle to those of the circumcision, and that certainly does not include the Roman Catholic Church. We'll move on here. For he that wrought effectually in Peter, to the apostle, okay, plainly put, to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. So he confirms it again there, affirms what I'm saying. Peter was never the Pope. He was not Simon Pater or Father Simon, as they call them Father even till today. And the Messiah said, call no man Father. And that is exactly what he was referring to. And when James, Cephas, John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. And they had, you know, those 12 that were chosen, the pillars, the apostles that are chosen and mentioned even in the Revelation, they had 40 years work to do, almost 40 years work to do in Judea before the destruction. That was the mercy of the Almighty to what was once his chosen nation. That special, set apart nation status ended at the end of the 70 weeks, as foretold by the prophet Daniel. It ended. 70 weeks are determined. Yahshua said, and the desolations that are determined shall come with a flood. He held that off from the cross for 40 years. It was 28-29 AD, if we use the common era calendar, that the Messiah was crucified. It was 69-70 when the nation was totally obliterated and the temple was destroyed and not one stone was left upon another, just as the Messiah foretold, just as Daniel foretold. No wonder they hated the Messiah. They always hate the true prophets. They always fall back on their wall of false prophets. That's the wall, the popular prophecy. And that's what people fall on today, the wall of false prophets and the wall of false prophecy that they build. Read the chapter in Ezekiel. Look up wall of false prophets and read all about it. It's happening all over again today. It happened in Ezekiel's time. It happened in Jeremiah's time. It happened in the Messiah's time. And it's happening today. So we had the apostles of the circumcision. The same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. So we have Peter going to Antioch to visit the brethren there. And Paul relays this happenstance with us. He says, for before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. He's saying when Peter was there by himself, he ate with the Gentiles. Right? He had no problem sitting and fellowshipping with those brethren that were of other nations. Now, the traditions of the fathers, when you're in Jerusalem, you keep yourself separate. You keep yourself separate from the unheathen. You don't even eat with them. You don't sit at the same table with them. That's how it is. That's how it was in Jerusalem. That was the tradition of the elders. And perhaps that's the way of it in Jerusalem, and that's the way it should have been. There was no fault there. But here, Peter, see, he's going to play the hypocrite. He's there by himself and with Paul, and there's only Paul and him and all of these converts from among the Gentiles to the faith. So he says, for before that certain came from James, so James sent some brethren to Antioch there to check out the situation. Peter had been there a while, apparently, just him with Paul and all of the brethren there. of that nation, of Antioch. He said, before those brothers came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, those men of the other nations. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Oh, what will they think if they see me sitting? So he separated himself and withdrew, and he would not sit with the brethren that were of Antioch or of the heathen or the other nations, as he did before those men came from Jerusalem, his Hebrew brothers, because he didn't want to be seen. And that was almost a natural thing for him to do, because that's the way he spent his life. Would any of us have acted differently? Probably not. But does that make it right? Oh, absolutely not. So he separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We, who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And this is where a lot of people believe that Paul taught a law was nailed to the cross. This is where they derive. These are supporting verses that they use for their unwholesome doctrine that the law was nailed to the cross. For if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, therefore Christ is a minister of sin. Or therefore Christ is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. We'll pick up here when we get back from some messages. You're listening to Cross the Border, my website, crosstheborder.org. Please visit there and leave me a note. Let me know that you're listening. Give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down in words. We'll be back in a few minutes.